Welcome again. Thank you for being with us this Sunday. You know, throughout the entirety of the New Testament, within the Gospels, we see various different portrayals of the disciples. More often than not, they are people who are following Jesus, doing their best to emulate how he lived, to behave the way he behaved, to listen to and understand his lessons in ways that are life-changing, and more often than not, they fail. One of the great things about the disciples and following Jesus the way they do and being portrayed as they are is we as the reader can oftentimes find ourselves feeling very much in the shoes of the disciples. That their inability to understand and to fully appreciate and to fully live into the ministry that they've been invited into is very much mirrored in our own experiences. That just as much as the disciples will hear something that Jesus says and they will completely misinterpret it or they'll fail to be able to apply it, the same thing happens to us every day. And so when the disciples oftentimes fail, Jesus takes these as teaching moments, opportunities not to chastise them, opportunities not to shake his finger at them and say, well, why can't you be as good as I am? Because, of course, they're human and they're not God. And Jesus, though he is human, is also God. And so he is able to do things that the disciples are not able to do. And so in this particular circumstance, once more, Jesus is with his disciples, and once more, they're not doing what they're supposed to do. They've arrived in a destination, and Jesus is trying to spend time focusing on training up the 12. So much so that he's made it known among his little group that they're not to tell anyone who they are, or why they're here, or that they're here, because he doesn't want the crowds crushing in and taking away his opportunity for education. And so as the disciples are gathering around in this home that they're staying in, he says to them, so tell me, as we were walking on the way here, what was it you were discussing? Now this is an embarrassing moment for them, because what they were discussing, I'm going to assume, out of earshot of their leader, is which of them was the best disciple. Who was the greatest? Who would be in charge? Who did Jesus like best? So, of course, when Jesus says, what were you discussing while you were on the way here? They kind of have this awkward pause, this moment where they look at each other like, I'm not going to say anything. Are you going to say anything? I'm not going to say anything. But, of course, the fact that Jesus is confronting them about the conversation they had on the way to this place means that Jesus knew exactly what the conversation was about as they were talking on the way to this place. Like any parent who ever says to their children, what did you do? He knows what they did. He just wants them to come clean about it. He wants them to engage in a conversation about it. Because ultimately, it's not a bad conversation to have. Who's the best disciple? Who's doing the best job? Who's going to be in charge? All of these things do come up later. And in the end, one disciple is, in fact, put in charge. The decision-making process that gets them to this point is worth talking about. But the problem I'm going to assume here, because Jesus doesn't shake his finger at them and say this is the problem, but he implies it in everything that he says from here on out, is that while the disciples were discussing among themselves who was the best, they used the wrong criteria. They were trying to decide who was his favorite, who was the most impressive, the most important, who would the other disciples ultimately answer to? And in this, they have misunderstood the way the kingdom determines what greatness is. Jesus says to them, greatness within the kingdom of God is not determined by who gets served. Greatness in the kingdom of God is determined by who serves. And so he uses this wonderful example. He finds a small child, probably like a toddler running around, and he swoops it up and he brings it into their midst and he grabs it up into his arms and he carries it and he says to them, look at this little child here. Now, if you want to know who is greatest among you, think of it this way. Whosoever welcomes one like this welcomes me. And whosoever welcomes me welcomes my Father in heaven. Now, why the child? Why is it important that you welcome a little child? Well, the answer is fairly simple. The little child can't do anything for you. It's not like if you welcome a little child into your home and say, okay, well, I'm going to cook dinner tonight, but you're on for dinner tomorrow. It's not like dinner is going to happen. It's not like you say, okay, I'm going to cover the electric and the water, but you pay for the rent and the heating. The toddler can't do that. It's not as though you can care for a child with the expectation that the child will then turn around and care for you. There is nothing to be gained of a material nature in welcoming a child. Now, of course, we can have a long conversation about the emotional and the spiritual wealth that comes with raising children, which I think Jesus is also alluding to here. But he's making the clear point that you have nothing to gain in this world by serving a child. And in like fashion, Jesus says, if you want to be great within the kingdom of God, if you want to stand tall in the halls of justice within the capital of the kingdom of God, you have to first begin by serving those that absolutely, positively cannot serve you back. Why? Because there is then no question in your motivation. There's no gray area. No, if I serve this child, then this child will in turn make me rich. It is service purely out of love, purely out of a desire to be one who serves, that makes one great within the kingdom of God. And we live in a world that I feel like sometimes loses track of that message, not pointing any fingers, hello Joel Osteen. But the fact of the matter is that we as Christians are called to be disciples just as Jesus Christ called his disciples to be. We are called to serve one another and to serve the lowest of this world. We are called to do this not in an expectation of receiving some material good back, or power or prestige or any of the things that the world could give us. We are called to serve because this is how Jesus served, out of love, out of compassion for those who have nothing to give back, out of a desire to genuinely be a force for good in this world. To welcome the little child is to welcome Christ, because this is how Christ lived. To welcome Christ is to welcome the Father, because Christ brings the Father to us. And in the cross, he reconciles us to the Father. In all ways, shapes, and forms, service as a disciple, and we are all called to be a disciple, is found in humility. That is the beginning of service in the kingdom of God. Recognizing that we will not, shall not, and should not profit from service to God, but that in the end, our reward is God's goodwill. Our reward is God's awareness of our goodness. Our reward is found in doing good. So I say to you all this Sunday, thank you for being here, part of our worshiping body, but go out. Welcome the little children into your life, whatever form they might take, knowing that your service is seen by your Father in heaven, and the reward that you will receive is great and eternal, but not in this world at all. And this is what it means to be a disciple.